Are you blessed and highly flavored? Are you anointed and appointed? Are you full of joy? Did you get God's attention tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Daddy loves when we get his attention. You know, the word tells us that every man is appointed to die once. Amen? Praise God. But we die daily. The Bible says something specific. Unless the seed dies, then it can't grow. It must die and fall into the soil. So for anything to become new, it must first die. And just because you died once doesn't mean you're willing to die again. We die daily. Daily, every single day. We are constantly coming to the end of ourselves. This country must come to the end of itself. United States must die. Must be destroyed of all of its economic and everything. Everything must come to an end in this country so it can begin again new. It's happening globally. And the world is going to see those that are made new. So no matter what you're going through, it's because God is trying to bring you to the end of you. He's always trying to bring us to the end of us. If you're a grumbler, complainer, he'll keep you in that cycle until you finally either surrender it, come to the end of it, or go home. I've seen God take many people home because they wouldn't stop. And they died and went home. Better than ending up in hell. Amen? But he shared with me a while ago, I'm taking some of my people home that are in the way. They're in the way, I'm taking them home. And in that, in other words, that was their appointed hour. That was it. You know, everybody has an appointed hour at some time for something to occur. There's appointed hours of everything. We talked about God's divine interaction with humanity and the times and seasons and so forth, but there's an appointed hour. And one of the things he wants us to do is be prepared for an appointed hour. There's an appointed hour that's going to happen in this country. There's an appointed hour that's happening in your life. There's an appointed hour that we must be alert for, awake and quickened. Be sensitive to it. Because the Spirit will even tell you things to come if you're hearing. But if you're too caught up in yourself and your emotions and what was me and what about me and all of this stuff. See, the carnal mind and intellectual mind really interferes with the Spirit of God. When Jesus came into the world, he taught the truth. The anointing taught. And individuals said, man, this guy's teaching something phenomenal. I mean, he's not teaching like the scribes. See, we don't speak like the scribes. We don't teach like the scribes. We're not religious. The anointing teaches us. As the anointing taught then and is still teaching us now. But you must have ears to hear and a heart to receive. You must be consistent. Consistent. Stop allowing emotions to dictate your choices. Stop allowing your mind to dictate your choices. Stop allowing offenses to dictate your choices. Your disappointments. Your disagreements. And I guess, and especially again, those feelings. And don't let your misunderstandings make your decisions. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not correct. Well, I don't get it. Well, maybe you're not supposed to. Maybe you need to come to a place where you're dead enough to get it. Amen? Why? Because God's trying to bring us to the end of ourselves so that he can take over. He wants to fill us, dress us, and possess us in the area so that we yield everything to him and every part of our members and every part of our life, every part of our choice, every part of our decision. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, my son, do not forget my words or my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Here he tells us, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Anybody want length of days and long life and peace? Well, then you must maintain, comprehend, and grab hold of his promises. You know, that's why people struggle, because they don't know God's promises. They know just enough of God, but not enough to break through. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your desires, all of your heart, and stop leaning on your own understanding, your carnal understanding. See, the mind of Christ wants to bring you understanding, but the carnal mind can't understand the things of God. So if you're more carnally, physically minded, you're not going to understand the things of God. The Bible tells us the carnal mind can't get it. That means you're in the flesh more. And does everybody get that? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. See, that scripture right there is if you acknowledge him, he's going to direct your path. You don't have to. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Reverence, honor, and respect him, and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen? Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detect his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father and a son in whom he delights. Again, don't forget his words of promise. They are length of days and long life and peace added to you. Trust in all of your desires or your heart and stop leaning on your own interpretations of the carnal mind. God's ways are much higher than our ways. Listen, in this hour of trial, everybody is trying to understand what's going on in the whole world. There's a lot of assumption going on there. All these news medias are saying all kinds of stuff. They're trying to figure it out. What's going on? Why? When? Where? What's going to happen? How? All of these questions are out there. People are becoming confused. People have been lying, cheating, and expressing their opinions constantly and bringing confusion to many. Amen? But these are moments where we must trust God when you don't understand it. You must what? Trust him. You don't have to understand everything, but you got to trust him in everything. And if you trust him in everything and you maintain course, understanding eventually comes. Oh, okay, I got that now. Oh. You know, just like many people have problems with the area of things from the Spirit, like even gifts of the Spirit. Let me tell you, you know what a gift is? Somebody comes and gives you a gift. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody wants gifts. Everyone's thinking of a surprise. Well, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us, but they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. But you have the choice to do what you want with that gift. Same thing with salvation. Somebody get it? You get the gift of salvation, but you can give it away and go back to serve the world. The choice God has given you. It's a gift. What you do with it is up to you. So if you don't know how to operate the gift, you need to find out. If you want to maintain salvation, you need to cooperate with grace, which is the God's plan. Amen. Again, gifts. That's why he said desire spiritual gifts. He gives gifts to his people. You know, so many times you get a gift of something and somebody opens it and there's instructions in there on how to operate it, right? So many times people don't read the instructions. That is cooperation. Then so many times, so many people put it on the shelf and don't utilize it. Or they put it away and forget they even had it. Again, salvation is a gift. There's an appointed hour with God. Release the gift. What you do with it is your responsibility. Amen? It's your responsibility. You know, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, tongues is running in you all the time. It's always running in you. The Holy Spirit's always praying in tongues in you. If you can be quiet enough and go into your spirit, you'll hear the tongues of the Spirit. He's always praying. Why? He's always making intercession for us. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, it's my choice to interact and connect and let it come out. Amen? Or I can just let him keep it going. But he's constantly praying for me. It's always running. Tongues is always running in my spirit. And then when I interact with it, it comes out my mouth. Does everybody understand that? You have the choice to connect. Amen? You know, it's like that we have a picture in our of like praying in tongues is like the bucket going down in a well. And there it goes down in a well. And then it picks up the water and brings it up while it's grabbing mysteries of God. See, when you're praying in the Spirit, God is imparting mysteries in you. Things that he wants to bring to your mind later. Why? Because the devil knows what you think. So God puts it in your spirit, then he brings it up ahead of time. Does everybody get it? That's why it's so important about praying in tongues. Tongues is the greatest gift besides salvation. It's the foundation of almost all the gifts. It increases your faith. It does. Oh, I mean, people get revelation, prophecy when you interpret tongues. When you're praying in the Spirit, it's prophecy. So why doesn't the devil doesn't want you to pray in tongues? Because it's the only language he doesn't understand. Amen? So that will be your greatest battle until you break through and accept it. The Bible says if you accept it, you receive it, you have it. And the devil will tell you, yeah, I ain't got it. That's why we usually pray in tongues, give an opportunity for everybody to connect it in. Many people started praying in tongues when we all were praying in tongues. Amen? Remember, the gift is your choice to activate. Not God's choice. He already gave it to you. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 18, please. We're going to see a lot of appointed hour moments coming here shortly. God has designated, predestined, appointed hours for things to manifest. Amen? In verse 18, little children, it is the what? Last hour. Hello. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have what? Continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? Well, snap, you know all things. Why? Because he who's in you is greater than he is in the world. Man, if you start praying in tongues more, you're going to know more. It is the last hour. He's saying what? To be alert, to be consistent. Why? Because there's a lot of things that God's going to release in this last hour. And we want to be ready. Many people will miss it because they're still leaning on their own understanding. Matthew 24 and verse 36, please. But that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Is it like the days of Noah? Well, then we know we're in this hour. Amen? For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Appointed hour. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the chief would come, or the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be what? Broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So you know this. He's coming at an hour that you're not going to expect him to. Even all the signs and everything may be so close that you're going, man, it's got to be, the Lord's got to be here any day now. Nah. It says he's coming when you're not expecting it. Not when you're expecting it. Now, we do know the signs and times and seasons and what hour we're in. We're in the last hour. We know that. Amen? But we don't know when. Surprise. So that means we got to be consistent, don't we? We must be alert. Everybody's talking about the rapture now. Everywhere I look, they're all talking, oh, the rapture's going to be September. No, it isn't. If it is, I'll be surprised. See? Matthew 9, verse 21. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be what? Made well. But Jesus turned, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from what? That hour. Wow. Powerful. And she was made well in that hour. Healing can come within in that hour. Don't give up, because healing is an appointed hour for everyone. You don't know when, though, all the time. A miracle is when it manifests right then and there. But the Bible says, lay hands on the sick, anoint them, and they will be healed. Well, that's the process of healing. Healing, there's a process, and then there's miracles, which are instant. And Matthew 10:18. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. That's people freak out sometimes. Man, what am I going to say? Just pray in the Spirit, and it'll come to you. Amen? That way you don't say anything stupid till you get there. For it will be given to you in that what? In that hour, what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Who speaks where? In you. That's tongues. Why? Then you can speak. He can speak through you. So the Spirit of your Father is speaking in you all the time. Whee! And so what you've got to do is connect, and he'll speak right through you. Matthew 26:39. It says that Jesus was praying, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Now you got to grab hold of this, because Jesus was praying and he was asking Peter to see. Couldn't you see? Couldn't you watch with me? See, he wanted spiritual sight. Jesus was interceding. He was looking for someone to see. You know, how many times have you run into someone that they saw what you couldn't? Amen? You'd be talking to someone, you go, "Man, did you notice this?" "No, I didn't see that." Well, they saw something that you didn't. And it's like that in the spirit, too. And Jesus was saying, watch and pray lest. And then he says, "What, you couldn't watch with me for 1 hour? Watch with me." He didn't ask him to pray with him. He said, "Watch with me." Again, and again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Amen? Why? In verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray, lest you what?" Now he says, "Watch and pray." Does everybody get it? Watch and pray. Look at this again. Because he first says, what? "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Then he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak." Weak. And of course, Jesus went back and prayed again. And in verse 44, "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Watching and praying. You're actually praying and watching. While you're praying, God is showing you. So when you're praying in tongues, also, you will get vision in your spirit. You will see. That was Jesus' appointed hour. Well, what was he doing? It says he prayed three times. Why did he pray three times? Three chambers of the tabernacle. Was Jesus the tabernacle? Yeah. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has an everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour, the appointed hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Woo-hoo. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, and those who have done good to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It's called the hour of judgment, isn't it? Amen? The resurrection hour. There was an hour also when Jesus died. Amen? And then when he rose, on the day he rose from the dead, the saints that died during his ministry rose with him. And they went into the cities, freaked everybody out. It was probably one of the greatest days of salvation in that area. Amen? Revelation 17, verse 1. The one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me and saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Who's the great harlot? The Babylonian harlot. It's the United States. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What does the wine represent? Money. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. What's beast represent? Fallen angels. Demonic. Which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Wow. Yep. And verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to the perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the mountain, the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So they will receive within 1 hour. In other words, they're going to be able to do all kinds of stuff in 1 hour globally. They get 1 hour. It's their hour. It's their appointed hour. Revelation 18 and verse 9. It says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. 1 hour. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that their soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purples and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. That was the appointed hour of God by judgment. Does everybody see that? It was God's hour of judgment. For in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And I'm going to close at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Wow! They took no oil. Why? Because they didn't have any. What was their problem? Lack of assembling, corporate worship. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your own oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Nobody can sell you your oil. You must earn, you must worship it. Amen? That's how you get filled. Hallelujah. And while they went, verse 10, and while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So we must be alert, we must be consistent, and stay filled. Stop allowing your feelings to dictate your choices. And stop living out of the carnal mind, because the carnal mind cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Stay filled, dressed, and possessed. Keep worshiping. You know, people go to shop till they drop, worship till you drop. Praise God. Come to the end of you. But stay consistent no matter what, every day. Daily deny yourself. Amen? Praise God. Because your appointed hour is around the corner. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the appointed hour that you have set for each and every one of us for healing and freedom and deliverance and refreshing, and for this country. Her appointed hour is around the corner. So let us not get caught up in her appointed hour, but only in the appointed hour with you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.